This morning we considered that thought of streams of living water. Out of your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. And then that verse in Luke 11, that wonderful promise, Jesus says, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" But often we find that it doesn't come that easily. And I can remember often here at camp the instructions that were given, the teaching that was given regarding the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And not only should we ask, yes, that's the beginning, how much more should your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him, but then we were encouraged to seek. And that seeking speaks to us about maybe having to wait on God and to get alone in his presence and to spend time with him over his word so that his word could find a place in our hearts and make the changes that were necessary. We sang it in this song in the different verses, and verse 2 begins this way, "Emptied that thou shouldest fill me." There's a need in that waiting time on God and seeking God where we ask him, "Lord, empty me of myself. Empty me of my own desires. Empty me of my own plans, my own thoughts. And fill me then with yourself. Emptied that thou shouldest fill me." And that's one of the criterion. We need to be emptied of ourselves. I remember one year I took these precious jars off the mantle and did a little illustration. And Brother Paul, I didn't know that they were worth anything. And he was just hoping I wouldn't drop them as I was, I don't know, maybe the good ones are gone. He probably put them away, so I can't do that. But you wouldn't use a jar that's full of pencils for a drink of water, would you? You probably would empty it first. And so there are things that God needs to empty out of our lives, and even sometimes they could be good things that just take the place of the place that he alone should have. He should have that first place in our hearts. And then the next verse talks about, well, the next phrase talks about a clean vessel in thy hand. A clean vessel. Setting free from self and sin. And I just thought maybe tonight we ought to spend a little bit of time on that thought. The need to be clean. The need for the Lord to cleanse us. The Lord's not going to fill us with his Holy Spirit if there are things in our hearts that we need to deal with him about that maybe he's put his finger on already and we've just said, "Well, Lord, you know, I really don't want to let that go. I know it displeases, but I like that. I don't want to let that go." And we need to deal with God and that time of waiting upon him, of seeking him. Maybe God puts his finger on things that displease him. Maybe it's a relationship that we're in that hinders our going on with God. Maybe it's a habit we have. Maybe it's the music you listen to. Maybe it's the things that you watch on TV. Maybe it's the things that you allow your eyes to see. I don't know what it is for you. But when God puts his finger upon our hearts and he asks us to let that thing go and to repent of it, and we don't, it does something to us. It allows, or it creates this, as it were, a blockage to God's working further in our lives. There's that hindrance. And God wants to remove that so that he can fill us. There's a psalm that we're all familiar with, and I'd like us to look at it together tonight, just briefly. It's Psalm 51. We know the story that occasioned this psalm, and he was a man after God's own heart. I've said this before, how the Bible doesn't gloss over the heroes. The heroes of faith, the heroes in the Bible, are presented to us as they really were, with all their imperfections and maybe the sins that we would like to hide. I'm not sure. I know David would not be proud of what he did. And yet the Bible records for us very very clearly that he failed. He sinned. Right here at the head of this psalm, it says, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. That's what occasioned this psalm, this prayer unto God. And in our dealings with God, in our approach to God, we need to be right with God. We need to have the right foundation, the right footing, and that is a clean heart, a clean life, a life that's been washed in the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And how we want that blood to be applied to our hearts. And so David here, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. If we know this story in the Bible, it wasn't just adultery that he needed to confess. He also occasioned the murder of Uriah, trusted soldier of his. And to cover his sin, he tried to, well, have Uriah be the father, as it were. And that didn't work out. So then he sends Uriah into battle, puts him in the front, pulls the troops back. And so Uriah is killed, and he takes Bathsheba as his wife. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. I think that's the faithfulness of God that brings conviction to our hearts, that doesn't let us rest if there is a sin that's unconfessed. God reminds us, keeps it before us. I'm sure David realized that there was a loss in his soul, that there was a loss in communion with God. The fellowship of God wasn't there. There was a dryness. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Here again, he realized that his sin was not only against the people that he had hurt, the people that had been killed, but sin is always a sin against God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Have you recognized sin to be what it is? Sometimes we trifle with sin. We play with our sins. We like our sins, and so we don't think they're so bad, and we kind of rationalize it away. Well, that's not so bad. I'm not as bad as that next person. I'm not a murderer. I'm not as bad as David. But if we would realize what sin really is and how God views our sin, and the fact that it destroys our relationship with God. I cannot have a relationship with a holy God if I allow sin in my life. The Bible goes on to say that God doesn't even hear our prayers. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. And so this is how serious these things are before our God. And yet we trifle with it and we try to rationalize it away. Sometimes it's like we medicate the symptoms and we don't address the real problem, the root, the disease that's in our hearts. Well, we can come to church. You can come to church. You can sing in the choir. You can even teach a Sunday school class. And yet underneath there might be a sin that you're hiding from others but not hiding from God. David finally came to that place where he realized it took Nathan the prophet to come and to confront him. Told him the story about the man who had the little lamb, and the rich man came and took that one lamb, the only lamb that he had, and feasted upon it, for a guest had come. And David was enraged and said, how could that man do that? That man should die. And Nathan said, you're the man. You're the man. Sometimes we look at others and we say, I'm not as bad as they are. And we fool ourselves when God is saying to us, you're the one who needs to repent. You're the one whom I'm dealing with. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I'm so thankful that we can come to the blood of Jesus. We come to a fountain that flows freely. Under the old covenant, they had to bring a lamb or a sacrifice to atone for their sins. And the book of Hebrews tells us that sacrifice never really dealt with the heart of the matter. Yes, it was an appeasement. It was a covering under the old covenant. But the Lord desires truth on the inward parts. Right on the inside, He wants us to be right with Him. He wants us to be clean. And He's provided for that at Calvary. Our Savior took our place so that we could be free from sin, that we could come for cleansing. He's faithful, the Bible says, and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How thankful we are that we can be clean. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. We read in, I think it's Isaiah, where he says he takes our sins and he remembers them no more. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You remember the things that people have done to you, right? Those bad things that people do. We tend to not forget easily when people sin against us. And yet here David prays, Lord, blot out my transgressions. And the Lord says, I'll remember your sins and your iniquities no more. It's not that he forget, I mean that he can't, you know, remember. He chooses to forget your sins. He chooses to put them under the blood. And then verse 10, we spoke a little bit about that previously. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, God doesn't just patch up the old and just try to make you better. You know, there's so many self-help improvement books that you can read. But the Bible's not a self-help book. It tells us that we're sinners, that we're lost, that we're helpless, and that the only one that can save us is Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that He has made full provision for me. He can create in me a clean heart, a new spirit He puts in us. He takes out the stony heart. He removes that heart that's disobedient and defiled, and He gives me a heart of flesh, a heart that's tender towards Him, a heart that's clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit, or grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Hallelujah. And sin will separate us from God, will separate us from the presence of God. And that's why God asks us to come and invites us to come and to be clean, to come to the fountain. And I'd like us tonight just to consider that. Empty that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand. God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. God wants you to ask Him to be filled with the Spirit. God wants us to seek Him until we're filled. And as we seek Him, He shows us those things that grieve Him. He shows us the things that He wants to take from us, to cleanse us from. And so we want to just bow before Him and say, yes, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me, Lord Jesus, a heart that's pure. Let this vessel, let this life, this body of mine be a temple that you can dwell in. And Paul says, what? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And if we want God to fill us, then we need to begin here at the cross. We need to ask Him to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin. It seems that's another thing that hinders the Holy Spirit from taking possession of us. We're so full of ourselves. We don't see our need of Him. We're quite independent. We're quite good enough. And yet we don't realize how desperately we need Him. I think of that picture in the book of Revelation where Jesus is standing outside the church at Laodicea. Maybe you've seen that painting, you know, Jesus knocking at the door. Seen that famous painting? Sometimes we think of that as salvation. But in the context there, in Revelation 3, he's speaking to a church. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. Why? Why is Jesus on the outside? Because the people in the church said, we're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. We're rich. And what does Jesus say? You're poor and you're wretched and you're naked and you're blind. And come buy of me gold that is tried in the fire that you may be rich. Ask for eyes, Sav, that you may see. And so we don't want to fool ourselves. We don't want to think that we can make it without Him and without the Holy Spirit filling our lives and empowering us to live lives that please Him and are blessings to those around us. Make me a blessing, our sister Marie said. Make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Well, let's get right with God tonight. Let's say, Holy Spirit, search my heart. Search me, O God. Psalmist David says, know my thoughts. Try me, see if there be some wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I want to walk this way with you. I want to walk that narrow road. I want to be on the highway of holiness. And so search me, Lord. Search my heart. I believe God has great desire over us. He desires more than we do to fill us with His Spirit. And so let's ask Him, Lord, if there's something that hinders, Lord Jesus, show it to me. empty me of myself, cleanse me from my sin, and then fill me with yourself. And as I said, sometimes it takes time. It doesn't happen right away. And maybe we're tempted. The enemy says, well, you know, you've heard that before, and you've asked before, and God's just not going to fill you. You don't really need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not really that important. You're doing okay. Let's not listen to him. But let's say, Lord, you've promised. You've promised that power from on high, the power to make me holy, the power to enable me to witness for you, and to live for you. And so, Lord, I want all that you have for me. I want all that you've purchased for me. Just one more thing. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We were always encouraged, just seek for Jesus. Seek the baptizer. Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. At every gospel, the beginning of every gospel, John the Baptist makes that statement. He's the one who comes after me, preferred before me. He's the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, fill us with faith. Fill us with faith to realize that the promise is for us. It's for our children. And Lord, give us the grace to seek you. Put within us a seeking spirit that we will seek until we find. You will seek me and find me, the Bible says, when you search for me with all your heart. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now again, I don't know your heart, but God does. And if there's something that he is speaking to you about tonight or throughout the days you've been here at camp, well, let's just come to him and say, Lord, search my heart. Try me. Show me the things that displease you. And then let's truly repent. Let's confess our sins to him. Let's repent. Turn away from them. Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'd like us to sing as our prayer tonight, 112 in our hymn books. Yeah. sing this last verse, we are going to go to prayer. It's early, just a little bit after 9:30 tonight. And so I think we all have time. We all have time to talk to God about our hearts. Lord Jesus, speak to us. Search my heart, Lord. Last night I reminded you to make the most of the opportunity God gives you. Well, this is an opportunity for you to ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. The Lord is near to us. He wants to make himself real and precious to you. So maybe you don't know what to pray. Maybe you don't even know how to pray. Well, just talk to God out of your heart. Maybe you could just read the verses again that we've sung. Breathe on me until my heart is clean. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. And so, without anything further, after we sing, we're just going to go to our knees and talk to God and ask him to cleanse us. Verse 4.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me till I am all thine own, until my will is lost in thine, to live for thee alone. Breathe on me.
Let's go to prayer. Just one announcement that tomorrow morning we'll meet at 9:15, 15 minutes earlier here. Breakfast is the same time, 8:30, but everyone please join us at 9:15. Staff, you can return after the brief meeting if you haven't finished your work. Let's pray.
Oh, gosh.
Take thou my heart, take thou my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus.